In the year of the Christian calendar, there are many new beginnings. Advent, of course. Christmas, for sure. Epiphany. Lent, in a sort of contemplative sort of way. Easter, of course, being the center of our faith. Pentecost, and even what we call ordinary time. That's six new beginnings in each year. Not to mention, of course, all the special saint days that could be counted also as new beginning. That's a lot of new beginnings over the course of one year. And they come now, of course, with such regularity and a sense of familiarity that they comfort us. I look forward to Advent every year. I look forward to Advent starting in September. But along with comfort, of course, and familiarity, new beginnings come with challenges as well. As many of you have know, and so many of you have been so kind, I'm newly a great uncle to Emily Rose, and it's a brand new beginning for my niece and her husband, and I can tell you the bags under their eyes are the challenges that they're facing. Lenten contemplations also can lead to new goals, wonderful new goals, but they can be a challenge as well. In today's gospel reading, the new beginning starts with Jesus' ministry starting. Jesus starts his ministry and calls his disciples, and at the same time calls us to join him. And we need to think about our response to that call. After the arrest of John the Baptist, Jesus begins to send the message, and he proclaims, and I quote, "The kingdom of heaven is drawing near." This is the message of the gospel. This is the message of the good news. What is it that you think to yourself when you hear these words? The kingdom of heaven is drawing near. Think about that for a moment. When I first heard it, I must admit I was somewhat trepidatious. Let me tell you about that experience. I was a new student, graduated from high school, and a new student at UBC. And if you've never been to UBC, UBC is more or less split into east and west by this very large mall. And I forget what the mall is called. I think it's just called the mall, uncreatively. And I was walking down the mall to one of my classes, and in front of one of these big planters was a fairly large rock. And on top of the rock was this young man holding a Bible, and I assume proselytizing. It wasn't a sermon. He was trying to convert people. And he would say, "The kingdom of heaven is drawing near." And he didn't say it in a way that made me feel comfortable. It was a bit foreboding. It was a bit uneasy. It was a bit nervous. Given all that, it would most certainly shape my responses to Jesus' call that he called me at that moment. However, Jesus' reference to the kingdom of heaven, and indeed throughout the Gospel of Matthew, are not teachings about how to go to heaven, or that heaven is imminently awaits for us. Jesus is not talking about preparing us to leave this world and go to the next. Jesus is talking about God's kingly rule to come here on earth as best it can. Now that's quite different. Jesus' call here is not to some future heavenly salvation, but rather immediate action. And because of this, Jesus wants us to do something quite specific in the here and now. And because of this, Jesus wants us to fish for people. In last week's gospel from John, we hear Jesus ask us to come and see. And in this reading, Jesus calls his disciples and all of us directly to drop what we're doing and follow him and fish for people. Let's think about that metaphor for a moment. Fishing for people. What images do you get in your head when you ask Jesus says, "Let's go fishing for people"? I think of it as a sort of catch and release program for people of all sorts of levels of faith, including no faith at all. We gather people together, maybe the net is the church, and then we release them into the community to do service, to do good service, to do God's service, to bring the kingdom of heaven closer to here on earth, in the here and now. The late and, I believe, great cultural professor of mythology, Joseph Campbell, said that in most societies and cultures, the beginning of something is more often than not a call to adventure. In today's gospel, the opening scene of the story of Jesus' ministry is, if you will, when he begins to call people and see the exact moment when that begins to change. I quote, "From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" In the New Testament, the word translated as repentance is the Greek word metanoia. And I've talked about this before, but I think it's worth mentioning again and sometimes again. Metanoia means after or behind one's mind, which is a compound word of the preposition meta, after with, and the verb neo, to perceive, to think of the result of something. This compound word uses two meanings of time change, which may be denoted after and different. So what I'm saying is, the whole compound means to think differently afterwards. Metanoia is therefore primarily an afterthought, a different form of thought, a thought to change the mind and change the conduct, to change the mind and heart and change of consciousness. When I repent, therefore, I am changing my mind and my heart to do something for the better. Again, very much unlike my friend standing on the rock at UBC. Campbell said, at such times, that destiny has summoned the hero and transferred his spiritual center of gravity to a zone unknown. He is saying, at times like ourselves and Jesus at this time, is facing a moment where our center of being, our idea of who and what we are, shifts and challenges us to become something better. Jesus is calling us just as Jesus was calling his disciples. He is calling us to the call of adventure. He is calling us to change our minds and our hearts to become something better. He is calling us to a call of adventure that may well change our lives. Here are a few stories about calls to adventure, all of them true, and what's remarkable is the age of the people, I believe, Jesus was calling. At just 5 years old, Hannah Taylor saw a homeless man eating out of a garbage can and decided to take action. By the age of 8, she had founded the Ladybug Foundation, a charity that helps homeless people find dignity and refuge. The organization has raised over $2 million for projects across Canada, providing shelter, food, and safety for homeless people. Now a teenager, Hannah spends most of her time speaking at schools and events about the plight of homeless people. Craig Kilberg was 12 when his life was changed by a story that he read in the Toronto Star. It was about a child slave, Iqbal Missa, who was captured the world's attention by speaking out for children's rights. Inspired by Missa's story, Craig gathered a group of his classmates and set out on a mission to fight child labor that has now freed children as they were born. Together with his mother and his brother Craig, the organization has been built up into a charity empowering children to make their future for themselves. It has now more than 2.3 million youth involved with innovative educational and development programs around the world. Austin Gwynn was 9 when he watched a video that saw children who were losing their parents to AIDS. Realizing he could make a difference, he decided to shoot a basketball have a basketball tournament with free throws to raise money and awareness. With the help of his friends and family, Austin collected $3,000 to provide food, clothing, and shelter to 8 orphan children. Hoops of Hope is now the biggest basketball shoot-a-thon in the world, and Austin has managed to raise over $3 million for children left behind by AIDS. And then there's Terry Fox. I don't need to tell you the story of Terry Fox, I don't think. But what was remarkable as I was researching for this sermon is how much money his Marathon of Hope has raised over the years. It's millions of dollars, but shout out, guess how much money he's raised?
$25 million?
Any others? $750 million to cancer research. That's quite a call to adventure. 4 years ago, Donna came to me and said, I have an idea. And I thought it was a bit crazy, actually. Didn't have enough time to prepare for it. But there was enthusiasm in her eyes, and I said, go for it. 4 years later, $50,000 to the homeless people in our community. So what is Jesus calling us to do? What is Jesus calling you to begin? It doesn't have to be a multi-million dollar charity. It could be something that reaches people's lives and has the triple and ripple effect over weeks and months and years. Obviously, I don't have that answer for you, but I can assure you that Jesus is calling you to an adventure, to a new beginning that will help some, and in some way, bring God's kingdom to here on earth and in the here and now. It is a radical call from a radical Jesus, and it deserves a radical response. Jesus is calling us to start a new beginning and to give as much as we can to that adventure. When we do that, we become a part of God's plan. And when we do that, we end up with a life that is more affirming, more giving, more joyful, more emotionally rich, and more loving than we could have ever asked for or imagined. Thanks be to God. Amen.